Hey everyone, welcome to an all new edition of the Sports Report Podcast with Brad and Clay, free agency edition. It is finally the off season. The Cavaliers have won the championship, the NBA draft is behind us, and now millions of dollars to spend. Who goes where for how much? We're going to dissect it all down here today on the Sports Report Podcast. Welcome our co-host as always into the show, Clay Schrader. Clay, how are we doing today, buddy?
True, I'm doing pretty good. Pretty exciting time of year if you're a sports fan. So, yeah, it's been crazy. It's been crazy the last few days. It was 4th of July, you know, your birthday.
That's right.
Happy late birthday.
Thank you, sir. I'm a little older now, but I'm a little wiser.
You are a little wiser, I'm sure. Big 25 at a quarter of a way there, you know what I mean?
I know. People keep telling me that. I don't know if that's good or bad. I feel like it's bad. Like I should have gray hair by now or something.
Nah. People do have gray hair at that age, but nah. Quarter of the way there, though. So, you know, as long as you've been alive, you're just a quarter of the way there. Can you imagine how much more life you got left to live?
That's crazy. I mean, you think about 25 years. What have you done in the last 25 years? And then you have to do that, you know, another, looking into the future, 25 more years, what could you do then? It's crazy.
It is. Imagine what this world's going to be like in 25 years. Imagine how much Tempe Marcos could be like in 25 years.
Who knows what this place is going to look like in 25 years, but man.
What's going to be $200 million a year.
Probably, yeah. I mean, salary cap keeps going up, TV money. We wouldn't even have TVs in 25 years. Who knows what's going to happen, you know, what kind of gizmos we're going to be watching these games on.
Be putting things over our head and be like we're actually at the games, you know?
We'll be like a player signed to a contract.
Yeah.
But man, this is my favorite time of the year. It's summer. NBA free agency is here. It officially kicks off July 1 at midnight. I stayed up for, you know, the verticals breakdown of what we're probably going to see. I was hoping to see a couple of deals go down before I passed out and surrendered to the night's sleep. But there were a few deals go down. We'll get to those in a little bit with Timofey Mozgov, DeMar DeRozan, a couple of those big signings that happened the first couple of days of free agency. But, of course, we want to get to the big news of NBA free agency. What everyone was looking forward to hearing was the news and where Kevin Durant was going to go. Maybe he was going to stay home in Oklahoma City. It really felt like, you know, the last few weeks of the playoffs that he was going to sign a one-year deal with the Thunder, maybe come back and try this thing one more time with Russell Westbrook and see what could happen. But then, you know, a strange thing happened when the Thunder blew that series. You still kind of felt like the Thunder may have momentum. And then when the Warriors lost the championship to the Cavaliers in the 3-1 series the same way the Thunder did, basically, you really felt like it opened up the door for the Warriors to have another shot at Kevin Durant. And the more we got into this thing where he was taking, you know, offers, taking meetings with these and adding teams to his list, it really started to get a little worried if you were a Thunder fan. And yeah. And yesterday we found out just why they were so nervous. Kevin Durant decided to leave Oklahoma City for the Bay and Golden State, signed a two-year deal with $54 million. That's a player option after this next season. He can opt out, be a free agent again. They can renegotiate, get a bigger contract. But still decides to leave Oklahoma City to go to Golden State to join this, you know, super team right now. It's like, you know how they had the death lineup last year? It's like the lethal lineup this year. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and probably Zaza Pachulia to fill all the gaps in the starting five. That's
Zaza's probably my favorite.
that's the most important signing here is Zaza's contract, joining the Warriors, leaving Dallas to go to Golden State. It's a huge deal. People are hating on him. But Zaza turning a lot of heads heading to Golden State.
Yeah. Now, obviously going to have Iguodala, Sean Livingston back off the bench. I know Barbosa is a free agent. I don't know if they'll, you know, he may work something out. And David West, man, Warriors, yeah. It's going to be something. It'll be something if Barbosa, you know, he might take the veteran minimum too, you know?
Yeah, that's a huge deal. We're kind of waiting to see how they're going to fill the rest of the gaps on this team. You know, everything had to work out just right for Kevin Durant to fit in to this team's contract and their finances, because you go back a few years ago when Steph Curry's rookie contract was up, and they could have signed him for a huge max deal with 5 years. But they were, you know, at that time we were still worried about his ankles, of him, you know, being able to stay on the floor for a whole season without getting injured. So they negotiated a contract where he would get paid, but not at a max contract, shorter years. And that really opened up the door for Klay Thompson to not take the max, for Draymond Green to take $3 million less than he did when he signed his contract. All these little things had to happen for them to have enough space to add in Kevin Durant this year, and still they have to go out and find these guys who are okay with taking $1 million contracts for the next couple of years to keep this team rolling here, because you've got so much money flowing in with the starting five now.
Might have to have a couple undrafted free agent type guys still out to round out the roster, you know what I mean?
But exactly.
I think that'd be okay.
But yeah, I mean, and you think about it, how to package in the rest of this team, no matter what, if you have two of the starting five still playing with some of the guys off the bench, you're going to be okay. That's possibly two Hall of Famers playing alongside, you know, David West, Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala, all these guys. They're going to mix it, and it's going to be okay. You know, we would talk about the daunting task of filling out the rest of the roster. They're going to be all right when how they try to manage some of the, you know, we're going to see a lot of these veterans. We had Jermaine O'Neal come out yesterday saying, okay, I'm ready to come out of retirement. I'll sign a one-year deal with you guys to win a ring. You know, we're going to see all these guys start coming out. Maybe Allen Iverson's going to come out of retirement. Charles Barkley. You know, all these guys who never won a ring, bring them back from the dead, throw them on the Lethal Five, and go out on top of maybe a championship ring next year.
There you go. What about do they still have a Varejao? Is he still under contract or is he a free agent?
He's a free agent, and he'll probably walk. The way that the last couple of games ended for Varejao and the Warriors, he's probably going to be on the way out. He's going to, especially him, are going to be wanting more money than $1 million. So that's really all they can afford right now is guys who are okay with taking basically the league minimum. He's going to go somewhere who can use his floppy arms and hair to create fouls and charges, and they're going to pay him, roughly around $15 million a year to do so.
They're going to need a backup center because they had to get rid of Azealy and Bogut to clear up space. So unless Bates is still around, I guess he could be the backup center. They'll definitely have to add a big man, but somebody – you know, an older big, I remember when the Hawks signed Eric Dampier a couple of years ago, they'll get a Joel Anthony type guy, they'll get somebody, I'm sure.
Exactly. Maybe Brendan Haywood out of retirement, throw him out there again.
Yeah.
But, the big story here is, of course, is Kevin Durant leaving the team that he's basically built with GM Sam Presti, with Scott Brooks for the last couple of years, Billy Donovan this year. You know, like 2 years apart, him and Russell Westbrook were getting drafted by this organization. They also go out and they draft James Harden. They draft Serge Ibaka, Reggie Jackson. The list goes on and on. They're a fantastic franchise, ran the right way. And they're a small market, too. It's hard for this team to go out and, get free agents because they don't have as much money to spend as teams like New York or Miami. So, they have to build their team the right way through draft picks and be careful how they sign free agents. And I give Sam Presti a lot of credit the way he's handled Kevin Durant leaving. You remember how Dan Gilbert acted in Cleveland when LeBron James left the Cavaliers. Sam Presti handled it a little bit more mature. So now, Clay, I kind of want to talk about what this says and what this does for Kevin Durant's career, maybe. You said yourself a few weeks ago you can't really see Kevin Durant playing in another uniform. Here he is now going to, arguably the best team in the league last year and this year. What does that do for his career going forward? Does it come out maybe tarnish what we think of Kevin Durant? Do we put him in the same category as LeBron James? Or are we just kind of making things up and we're just going to have to wait and see what we see on the floor next year?
He's taking heat for it. I think he's taking more heat than LeBron took.
I think he is too. What's funny is, as soon as this happened, I went back to my Twitter feed the news broke, and our buddy Carter Holsey, okay, of all people, I love Carter to death, but the first thing he said was, well, I hate Kevin Durant now. Like really? Come on, Carter.
Well, he hates the Warriors and all things associated with the Golden State, so.
Because of Draymond Green, maybe?
Yeah, and because he's a big Spurs guy.
Well, there's no reason to hate on KD, man. This is a guy who...
Oh, I was punished by a little butthurt that they didn't sign with San Antonio,
That's true. Yeah, I bet if he would have signed with San Antonio, he wouldn't be so mad with him swapping teams. But, you know, Kevin Durant, this is a guy who, you know, we kind of like the hero of the villain, you know, him, LeBron being the villain, KD being the hero, kind of the way we picture them in the league until Steph Curry came along and stole the show. But this was a guy who the media loved and, you know, fans universally like Kate, you know, Kevin Durant a lot more than they did LeBron James, especially the timing of both of their past contracts, with LeBron opting to, you know, take his talents to South Beach and Kevin Durant just tweeting out, hey, I'm staying with Oklahoma. So they kind of handled everything differently, and I love the way Kevin Durant handled this entire process, especially going back to the regular season and the playoffs, being asked questions night after night, you know, what he thinks about this city, could he see himself playing with this team. He handled it the right way, answered the questions correctly, and, you know, didn't let it get in the way of basketball. And especially when it came down to the meetings, he let everyone know who was in the running. He didn't give, you know, he could have just added the Wizards to the list just to satisfy the fan base. But also what you're doing there is kind of getting their hopes up a little bit and then crushing their heart in front of their face. So it was a good thing that he didn't just add them as a pity meeting, you know. He could have done that. I'm sure LeBron, that's something he could have done. You know, guys like that would just, you know, to be nice, like a nice gesture would be to add this team to your list who doesn't really have a shot. But he didn't do that. You gotta give him credit for not adding the Knicks after, you know, a lot of pressure that he received from his marketing crew. They wanted him to go and get at least a meeting with New York, get a meeting with Los Angeles. He said, no, this is a basketball decision. He knew which teams were in the right position going forward. So he handled that correctly. He didn't publicize everything. He didn't do it on national television. He kept the meeting secure and safe in one location. And you gotta like the fact that he met with Oklahoma City first and last, you know, to give them the first pitch and the last pitch to change his mind.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I definitely, after saying that, after when I realized that definitely did hurt me. I definitely had a little more respect for him than I did LeBron, having that special on ESPN. That was just ridiculous. You know, but now people are running to LeBron's side saying, well, he didn't have a choice to leave and blah, 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 blah. And he was, and it's just, yeah, if you're going to hate on LeBron, if you're going to hate on Kevin Durant, hate on LeBron for leaving the first time, too. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know. But hey, he made a decision. He made a smart decision. Ultimately, I think the only teams that really had a shot was Oklahoma City, maybe Boston, maybe San Antonio. And obviously Golden State. I really think it was definitely Golden State and Oklahoma City in Boston. I think Boston kind of intrigued, especially when Horford signed. But you know, I don't, you know, it's a basketball move, you know. You know, it's going to be weird seeing them, you know, they'll probably meet in the playoffs against Oklahoma City, which Oklahoma City is going to take a huge step back now. Can they still be a playoff team, though, is the question. You know, they didn't make the playoffs a couple years ago without Durant. So, I don't know. Who can Oklahoma City get to fill that void now? Because, you know, they've just about every good player's already been signed.
Well, it's, you know, interesting to bring that up, because the first thing people started to talk about after Kevin Durant decided to leave Oklahoma City is, well, what does Oklahoma do about Russell Westbrook? He's a free agent next year. His partner in crime's gone. Could you look to possibly do the same thing that they did with James Harden and trade him now and get something for him? Or just let him walk for free like KD did?
Yeah, I've heard that rumor. I've heard the Knicks are interested, and maybe the Bulls, but the Bulls just signed Rondo to a 2-year deal, which obviously Westbrook is much better than Rondo, but, you know, they might could trade that. Hey, the Bulls would trade Rondo in a first-round pick for Westbrook, you know, in a heartbeat. So, yeah, I don't know. If you trade Russell Westbrook, you're just going into complete rebuild mode. You know what I mean? You're not going to build your team around, you know, Reggie Jackson, I wouldn't think. So, he's a good player, but, you know, you're not going to build a team around him. So, you're not going to build your team around, what's his name? Is it Anderson, the center?
Stephen Adams.
Adams, yeah, Stephen Adams. You're not going to build your team around Stephen Adams. So, I mean, I don't know. What would you do? Put your GM hat on.
Well, you know, I wear my GM hat all the time. Watching all these deals go down, kind of picturing, you know, it doesn't help that I play 2K and I'm the GM on 2K and I just trade everybody around.
This has never happened to you, the GM.
Well, I don't know. See, if I'm the GM, I'm probably the GM of the Warriors right now, and I've already got KD in a jersey.
Oh, I see.
But, you know, if this was any other organization, I think it's, you take out the Spurs, you take out Golden State, maybe Boston and Oklahoma City, you take those teams out of it, and if there's any other franchise in the NBA, they're going to be pretty bad next year. And you worry about the way they're going to handle the process going forward here. But, you know, Sam Presti and that organization in Oklahoma, they have everything running the right way. Yes, they lost the face of their franchise, but they handle everything the right way. They make the draft picks correctly. They are careful with their money. You have to give them credit for trading guys before they leave for nothing. Remember James Harden, we just mentioned him. They traded him, got something back. Got Steven Adams back from him, basically. They traded, you know, Reggie Jackson the same way. They got a few pieces from him. And,
oh, yeah, they did. I'm sorry, they did trade Reggie.
Yeah, yeah, they traded Reggie Jackson to Detroit and got a few picks back here and there. Got enough money to sign Cantor with that trade. And, you know, now Kevin Durant leaving for nothing. You have to think, if you're Sam Presti going forward, you have Russell Westbrook, who can arguably be next year's MVP because he's going to go out and average 80, 50, and 30. Next year, because there's nobody else to, you know, to control the ball as much as him.
Yeah.
But do you worry about him possibly leaving for nothing, or do you try to trade him and get a couple assets back? Because you still have some good pieces. You have Victor Oladipo. You just traded for Serge Ibaka, in the draft. You traded for Oladipo. You got him now. You got a younger core. You have Steven Adams, who's like, what, 22, 23, so he has a long career ahead of him. He's getting better each year. You have some really good pieces around him. If you go out and, you know, one scenario is possibly to trade Russell Westbrook to the Lakers and get D'Angelo Russell, get a young point guard who has some, you know, potential there. You know, you can build this young core with, you know, draft picks and young stars and maybe, you know, do it that way. Or you can take the chance and hope Russell Westbrook decides to sign back next year on a long-term deal, and that maybe can attract someone to come and play next season when we have more free agents. Because, you know, half of these deals we signed, what we saw happen this year in free agency so far, are basically, you know, option deals after 2 or 3 years where players can opt out and become a free agent again. So, you know, not all these deals are set in stone when it comes to, you know, length. But so a few people could be available next year if Russell Westbrook decided to stay. But you got to be, you know, I think Sam Presti is a guy who would know in what direction Russell was probably leaning towards. You know, in his mind, if he's going to stay or go. I'm sure they've already kind of, you know, crossed that bridge a little bit and try to negotiate with, you know, well, if you stay, this is what we can do. If you leave, though, we can find you a good place you want to play and feel comfortable in. So Sam Presti, I have more faith in him than anyone else in the NBA, just the way he handles every situation, the way he manages the money and the cap and draft picks. Yeah. This guy is one of the best executives in the league. And I have full faith in the Thunder going forward that they're not just going to be, you know, basically like the Sacramento Kings. They're going to be a lot better than that. They're going to hang in the playoff hunt. They'll probably be a 7 or 8 seed just because you have to think Utah's on the way up. Houston makes a few moves in free agency to possibly get themselves back up in the mid, you know, playoff range there. So there's a few teams on the way up. Thunder obviously on the way down. But there's no guy I have more faith in than Sam Presti. And Billy Donovan really, you know, proved me wrong a few times in the playoffs, out-coaching Steve Kerr a lot. So, you know, this team's going to be fine. What they do with Russell Westbrook is probably the next big question. But I think they're going to be fine. They're not going to be a forgotten team or a forgotten franchise in the next 5 years.
Yeah, I can see that. That Laker trade would be intriguing. Because I could see Russell Westbrook wanting to go to LA, but it's not his decision. You know, I mean, he could ask for a trade, but it's not, you know, it's not up to him this year. So, I don't know. That'd be interesting. LA has some young pieces, you know, some talented young pieces, but I don't know.
It'd be interesting to see what happens.
My dream would be that the Hawks trade, you know, Dennis Schroeder and a couple other guys, you know, and you know, he goes to Atlanta.
There you go. Yeah. And Russell Westbrook signs a max deal and becomes a star power Dwight Howard.
Yeah, you have Westbrook, Millsap, Howard. That's pretty good. Big three. Maybe more.
Yeah, we'll get to them in just a minute because I want to talk about Al Horford first. This was a guy, Al Horford, who, you know, was speculated to be on the way to Oklahoma City, maybe to play alongside, you know, Kevin Durant. This was kind of trade. Yeah. This was kind of like a if you stay, we can possibly get Al Horford to come play with, you know, and take Serge Ibaka's place, but a more versatile player, a more, you know, kind of a more intelligent player as well. So that would have been a really great piece to add. The money didn't work, and Al Horford actually, you know, had chances to come back to Atlanta. And and I think what really irked him and made his decision easier to leave was the signing of Dwight Howard. So Al Horford decides to go to the Boston Celtics franchise. I mean, you knew they were going to do something in free agency. Al Horford is one of the biggest names on their board, the biggest names on, you know, most organizations' board was, you know, where's Al Horford going to go? Can we sign him? And how can he help our team? He's going to become like the star for those guys because it's a young core right now. Yes, you have Isaiah Thomas, but now he has, you know, Al Horford, a guy who can use the pick and roll with. He has a guy who can, you know, be his partner in crime because there for the playoffs, we saw Isaiah Thomas basically just trying to do everything himself. Now he's going to have a veteran guy who's intelligent, who can knock down the three, who can get in the paint, you know, rough it up with a couple of guys. Al Horford is one of the best underrated players in the league, and Boston found themselves a gem.
Yeah, he's a good, smart player, no doubt about it. He will be missing Atlanta. I will say this, once the Howard deal was done, and the rumors that Atlanta was going to try and trade Paul Millsap, I would rather have Paul Millsap than Al Horford. So I'm glad. So in a way, I mean, I wanted Al Horford back. You know, there was no way Millsap could play the three, and you know, yada yada. Paul Millsap's contract would have had to been moved basically to get Horford back once Howard signed. You know what I mean? So. And I actually like Paul Millsap a little bit better. I think he's a little bit better player. Horford does a lot of little things that don't necessarily show up on the stat sheet. And he's gonna fit really good with that good young nucleus they got in Boston. He's just gonna. I mean, they're already a playoff team. You know, they'll probably be a top three seed next year for sure.
So Claire, that brings us to Dwight Howard. Atlanta finally gets a big name free agent. Yep, we've had a couple guys. You know, Kyle Korver, Paul Millsap in the past, Amari Carroll, but this is like the superstar face of a franchise type player who Atlanta wanted to sign probably about 6 years ago. And now we've seen his
typical Atlanta.
Exactly. This maybe a little bit too late. We'll see how it transpires. This is a guy who Atlanta had on their radar for a long time. Obviously a hometown kid coming back home to Atlanta. His game has kind of transcended a little bit in the last couple of years with injuries, obviously not fitting in the right locations in Los Angeles and, again, in Houston. Hopefully this could be the final stop for Dwight Howard. You know, I kind of like the deal they did here. Not too long, not too expensive. 3 years, $70 million. A pretty good – and I think it actually – no, okay, he didn't have an option. They almost negotiated a deal where he had an option after the third, but there's no options either way. It's a strong three-year deal, $70 million. And I think, you know, for the Hawks, this is a name they've been trying to get for a long time. They needed to create some kind of buzz. They traded Jeff Teague. They obviously have handed the keys over to Dennis Schroeder. They lose Al Horford, and they get Dwight Howard. And they also go out and they sign their own, you know, this guy who's suddenly out of nowhere become, you know, one of the hottest names in free agency on July 1st was Kent Bazemore. You know, that was coveted. He was a guy who was possibly going to go to Los Angeles, going to go to Brooklyn. There's several stops he could have went on, you know, maybe Dallas. He decides to come back and sign a deal with 4 years. That's a player option after the third. 4 years, $70 million, basically the same kind of deal as Dwight Howard. Pretty interesting there how they managed that.
Yeah, and I was really glad when they got – it was a pretty good day on the first day when they signed Howard and Bazemore. I'll be honest with you, but now since has been pretty bad if you're a Hawks fan. But July 1st was a pretty good day. But, yeah, I'm glad they got Bazemore. I think he's a good player, and he took a little less money to come back to Atlanta, but he said that he owed, you know, Coach Bud and the staff and the whole organization that, you know, they really, you know, they gave him a chance to start this year, and he took advantage of it, and so I think he felt like he maybe owed the franchise a little bit, so it's not like he took a huge pay cut. I think the Lakers offered him 4 years, $74 million, so that would just been $1 million a year, so, I mean, that's a lot of money, but, you know... In the big picture, that is not much of a, you know, less that he took by coming back to Atlanta.
Right.
He knows the system. You know, it'll give him a good player on the wing, they, you know, they drafted Prince out of Baylor with a lottery pick. You know, that'll give them another wing guy, a future wing guy. You know, I think Korver can still start another year for sure. But having some younger wing guys, but they're kind of you know, Atlanta there for a while, a couple of years. You know, it seemed like we were short on wing players, and now it seems like all of a sudden we got too many wing guys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Schroeder's now, he's the only point guard.
Yeah, and somehow after having Jeff Teague, Schroeder, Shelvin Mack, Kirk Heinrich, yeah, all these other pieces, now there's only one point guard on the roster.
Yeah, so we're going to have to do something. But, you know, Atlanta's still with a lot of decisions to make. You know, they keep Splitter. You know, Splitter was pretty good when he was at San Antonio at times. You know, and I don't think he got enough of a chance in Atlanta last year, and obviously he was hurt and missed most of the year. So, you know, he's... He makes about, what, $8-10 million a year, I think, which is, I mean, for a backup center, it's not horrible, you know. So I don't know, do they keep Splitter or they try and get rid of some pieces and bring in a veteran backup point guard? Or, you know, Atlanta has a lot of decisions to make. They got Tim Hardaway Jr., they got Prince, they got the other rookie that they drafted. They drafted two wing guys in the first round. So, I mean, I think there's another wing player that I can't think of. But anyways, you want to hear about Dwight Howard. I'm sorry, I got a little chase.
That's okay. No, we're good. Just, you know, anything Hawksy right now is good.
But, yeah, Dwight, I mean, obviously a rim protector and a good defensive player. But, I mean, heck, that's what Zaza Pachulia is going to do. Is he going to be much better than Zaza Pachulia? You know,
we hope so. Zaza, I was this close to going out and buying a Zaza Atlanta Hawks jersey. Okay, that's how much I love Zaza as part of the Hawks.
Yeah.
So if Dwight Howard can replicate that in any way and possibly succeed that in any way, I'm sure he's going to be loved and adored by many Atlanta Hawks fans.
Hopefully by coming back home. You know, there was a report on the Atlanta Journal-Constitution how they talked in the meetings at how he felt like coming back home would kind of revitalize his career, and he was really going to put in the work and play with a passion that he hadn't played with, that he didn't play with last year in Houston. You know, it's just a bad situation. And he's been in a couple of kind of bad situations. So, I don't know. Maybe he'll come out and be the Dwight of old. You know, there was a report on Bleacher Report that thinks that this is his best fit since his time in Orlando. But I just don't see how he fits this scheme very well. You're more of an X's and O's guy. Do you think Dwight Howard fits this scheme? I mean, obviously, I guess Coach Bud and the organization thinks it would be a pretty good fit, or they wouldn't have went after him as hard as they did. You know what I mean?
Right. Obviously, what this is going to do is actually...
I mean, they know more than we do. I guess it'll help open up things for the shooters, but... Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. What this is going to do is actually change the Atlanta's offense a little bit, okay? Because you had Al Horford. He was a guy who can go out and stretch the floor a little bit. You still have Paul Millsap for that. But this is going to change the Hawks a little bit here, maybe in a positive direction. They're finally going to have a guy in the post who can get rebounds, be a defensive force, and also a guy they can throw it into in the paint, which is what Dwight Howard wants, is, you know, for him to be fed the ball, basically, for half the game, where he can make his moves in the paint and get a couple of shots in. But this can work for Atlanta. You don't have to change your game or your game plan that much to make this work. This is a guy who is, you know, in fantastic shape when he's healthy, so he can obviously get up and down the floor. The one thing I actually worried about Dwight Howard most is his mindset. You know, if he's actually fully engaged in the game, you got to worry about, he's a very sensitive superstar in the NBA. We've seen his time in Los Angeles and Houston where at times he could have dominated, but instead kind of went off to the side and was a little bit less emotional than anyone else on the team. And that really hurt their chances in the post, which is something that Houston needed, you know, big time, how they changed their roster. But basically, it can work in Atlanta. They have to change a little bit to make room for Dwight Howard. But, I mean, this is a guy who, if you're a Hawks fan, you're pretty excited to get. You're just worried about his if he can stay healthy and if his mind can function right, being, you know, maybe back to the center of attention again and being maybe the face more, like he, because in Houston, let's face it, James Harden was the star, in Los Angeles, of course, Kobe Bryant was. So now we're going to give Dwight Howard more of the shine now. So hopefully he can handle that the right way and maybe not get too down on himself or the team if everything doesn't go right.
I think that's what he. I think he wants to be more of the face of the franchise. You know what I mean?
Could be.
I think that's when he was at his best in Orlando. You know, and I think, you know, in L.A., obviously Kobe still wanted to be the man, and James Harden. I mean, those two guys. I mean, they're good basketball players. They got some problems. They got some kind of ego problems. You know what I mean?
Well, hopefully, Dwight Howard didn't pick up any bad habits.
Yeah, I hope so. But, you know, hopefully, like that. You know, Atlanta. AJC Atlanta Journal Constitution report said that, you know, how he hopefully he's got his mind right and he's going to play with a passion he hadn't played with in a couple of years. So I hope so. I think mentally coming back home, getting this and still getting good money. I mean, it wasn't a max deal, which I was really glad. I think it's a good deal. Maybe a little more than I would like. I mean, it's still a lot of money. 3 years, 70. That's nearly. I mean, what is that? Looks like my math is bad. That's still 25 million a year.
That's somewhere around $22 million a year, somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah.
So what's the maximum? 25, 26?
Right. $25.
So yeah, I was afraid he was still wanting a max deal, so to take a little less, taking a lot less than what Al Horford would have asked for, you know, and he's a true center. You know, I hope that, you know, they can fix things with Paul Millsap, because that was the first thing I thought was, okay, we've got Dwight Howard, let's just add more pieces, get rid of some, you know, maybe trade Splitter, maybe trade Hardaway Jr., you know, free up a little bit of money to fill out the roster. And then, of course, all the talk started, you know, putting Millsap on the market, trying to get Al Horford back, and I'm like, well, now we're gonna lose Horford regardless, and you know, now Millsap's going to be hurt, and so he's going to leave in the off. You know, as soon as the season's over, because you know we tried to trade him. So hopefully they can kind of repair that damage there between, you know, the Hawks and Paul Millsap.
Yeah, hopefully he'll understand that. Of course, the business side of the game, and not how important he is to this organization. Going back to last year's playoffs, having that 45-point game against the Celtics to win, actually to lose that game in overtime, but without that performance, they didn't have a shot.
I know. That's. And Chris Broussard, he kind of made me feel a little more positive about it. I think it was yesterday morning he was talking, and he said, listen, Dwight Howard is a true center that Atlanta needed, and Paul Millsap is a better player than Al Horford. He was pretty optimistic about what the Hawks did. So.
Well, he has outshined Al Horford the last two seasons. Basically, ever since he came from Utah, he's been a better player than Al Horford. So I think going forward, they made the right choice, made the right decision with, you know, who they got rid of, Al Horford, Paul Millsap, and keeping Paul Millsap. They did the right thing not trying to trade. At least they did try to trade him, but they did the right thing not going through with it or finding a trade partner to make it happen. Keeping this team mostly together, adding a piece like Dwight Howard, obviously you're not done. You have to go out and get a few more pieces. And still, you have to worry about other teams like Al Horford's new team, Boston, being up there the top three next year in the East. So
is Horford going to play the four in Boston, or is he going to be the five?
He'll probably end up playing some of the five because they don't have, you know, a smart, big, durable guy to be in the post like that. But, you know, I think we're almost trending in a direction now in NBA where we're basically playing positionless. We're just putting the best players on the floor and making it work.
I know they got Sullinger. I'm not sure what other bigs they have, you know.
That's basically all they got. Like, that's in the post. That can maybe challenge Al Horford to be the five. It'd be Sullinger.
Yeah, they drafted a wing player. What's his name? Pretty good player.
Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, that's Brown. I don't know. They had some pretty good young wing players. You think he'll start as a rookie? I mean, he's a number what? 3 overall pick. He probably will.
Today he made his NBA Summer League appearance and he killed it. So I think he'll be close to start. It'll be, you know, how we get closer to the regular season here. But right now he's, you know, trending in the right direction to possibly start for the Celtics this year. Yeah.
Well, I heard somebody got hurt today in their first.
Ben Simmons got hurt last night in his first appearance. What's funny is Ben Simmons and Jaylen Brown, their first appearances on the floor actually against each other, and Jaylen Brown actually went out and blocked Ben Simmons' shot. and Ben Simmons, he left. He had a little leg cramp, so nothing too serious. He'll be fine, but still, Yeah. And your first appearance to go out halfway through, 8 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. You know, that's not what everyone was hoping for. Hopefully he can find a way to stay on the floor.
Yeah, hopefully.
But yeah, I want to get back to free agency here, Clay. In July 1st, you never know how it's really going to turn out. You know it's going to be crazy. It's going to be a frenzy. Big names are on the board, obviously. You know, the big talk is for them to go somewhere else. But I was fascinated how quick this all moved. You know, as soon as July 1st hit, the deadlines and the clock started, we had teams making moves. You know, the first move of the night was Los Angeles Lakers going out and signing free agent Timofey Mozgov to, you know, and what's funny about this, especially this year and next year, is it's really a cat and mouse game with the GMs, because everyone's kind of afraid of how much to offer someone because they're not sure what the floor level is right now, you know, because the new money is out there. So you're not sure how much you're overpaying, underpaying a guy. So you're really careful making the first move and how far you go with it. So for the Kupchak and the buses to go out and make the first move, and obviously it seems like they overpaid Timofey Mozgov, but if you go ahead and look at the rest of the, you know, we went through the contracts earlier, there's some crazy insane deals here, and it could have been worse. But you just, you know, you go back to the last time we saw Mozgov, which is basically sitting on the bench for the whole playoffs.
Right. The year before, he was a really good player. So, and when he got hurt, so hopefully, I mean, I could see it paying off for the Lakers. I mean, I think they paid a little too much for him. You know, it's a question mark. But if he can return and be the player that he has the potential to be, you know, he could be a really smart signing.
Well, the thing with the Lakers was is they tried to get their foot in the door with Kevin Durant, some other big-name free agents. That didn't happen. So what do they have to do? They have to resort to plan B. They got an amazing draft pick in Brandon Ingram. So now you have to go out and fill the rest of the pieces, put together, get some, you know, some guys you can to fill the rest of that roster to have any kind of shot at making the playoffs next season. So they go out and they get a big center to replace Roy Hibbert, who leaves and goes to the Hornets. So they get out and they get Timofey Mozgov with a big deal. They get Luol Deng, a guy who is actually one of the best players on the Heat's roster in the playoffs. Pretty good deal there, $72 million for 4 years. But that's another name. They have a shooter, another, you know, smart veteran guy who can go out and maybe mentor Brandon Ingram a little bit in some ways. To help his career go in the right direction. They re-signed Jordan Clarkson to a pretty big deal. 4 years, $50 million. Doesn't seem that big now, but you think of how he's played to this point. He has potential, but obviously hasn't proven much yet. But hopefully the next 4 years, we'll be talking about a much bigger contract for Clarkson going forward with the Lakers.
Right. So we got Julius Randle, right?
Right, Julius Randle, Brandon Ingram.
D'Angelo Russell.
Right.
Swaggy
P, Nick Young. He's probably on the way out.
Yeah. Probably should be on the way out. I don't think he's.
But the biggest, their biggest free agent signing is Luke Walton. You know, you finally have a good head coach who can, you know, is obviously his first gig, but you look what he did interim last year with the Warriors. I know it's not the same team as Golden State, but you got to like the way a young coach, you know, under the tutelage of Phil Jackson, Steve Kerr, obviously has had great basketball minds, his dad, Bill Walton, you know, one of the best players to ever play the game. So you have to like his mindset and his culture a little bit, introducing that to Los Angeles with a young core who's excited to learn and possibly maybe too excited at times out on the floor.
Yeah, possibly. But, I think Mozgov can definitely be an upgrade over Hibbert. And Luol Deng is a good veteran presence, and I really like Ingram. I think he might turn out to be better than Simmons.
He's my favorite draft pick. Him and Chris Dunn are my two favorite players in this year's draft class.
Yeah. So, you know, Lakers, it's going to take a while, but if those young guys start maturing, they could have an Oklahoma City type, you know, franchise in a few years.
We have to find some way to get the Lakers back in the shine a little bit to get them, because, you know, it's kind of like with the Yankees, the Mets, the Cubs, you know, the Knicks. The sport is better when certain teams, the big market teams, are up there in the playoffs. So to get the Lakers back on track, I think we're in a pretty good direction. The Knicks have obviously made some big moves in free agency to get back and have their way trending again. They go out and they trade for Derrick Rose, pretty risky move, but the returns could be pretty high, especially Rose going into a contract year, could go out and, you know, play the best he's played the last few years and earn that money. They make a few other...
I don't like how much money they gave Joakim Noah.
No, me neither. But they needed the center, and they needed a guy like Joakim. You know, he wasn't going to stay in Chicago when they brought in Robin Lopez. But, you know, a guy like Joakim to put together that tandem of Derrick Rose and Joakim, you know, on the same team again. You have Derrick Rose, you get Joakim Noah, 4 years, $72 million. We knew he was going to sign with the Knicks. It seemed like for a whole week before free agency started. They go out and they make a few late signings. In the last couple of days, go out and signing Courtney Lee away from Charlotte. It's a big pickup, a guy who can knock down shots, a great defender. And you go out and you get another scorer like Brandon Jennings. So right now your team is looking like Derrick Rose, arguably Courtney Lee, Brandon Jennings at the 2-3, Carmelo Anthony, Kristaps Porzingis, and Joakim Noah. Maybe your starting five.
Well, that could be a playoff team for real.
So the Knicks are getting back into some of the shine here, obviously trending in the right direction. But, you know, I can make a strong case where every team made a positive move to get back into the shine. Even the Philadelphia 76ers made some great moves and not, you know, offering certain players too much money. And they knew that they were obviously it's going to take a season or two for free agents to want to come to play to Philadelphia. They almost got Harrison Barnes to come to play for them. But they get a guy like Ben Simmons, and it's going to take a couple of years for them to get their tires rolling a little bit to get guys to go to Philadelphia. So they're in the right direction. They got draft picks. They made a few moves on draft night here and there. So Philadelphia, it's going to take them a little while, but they're going to be in the same situation maybe the Boston's in like 5 or 6 years, making a few of these moves and getting some free agents, hopefully, to come and play for them one day.
Oh, yeah. I think the future is bright for Philadelphia. There's a lot of things to tunnel. It's a long tunnel, but it's bright.
I'll go back to the Charlotte Hornets a little bit. This was a team that kind of surprised everyone late in the season, making the playoff push. Ended up with the same record as the Hawks, the Celtics, the Heat, all fighting for some playoff positions here, jockeying for late positions, late seedings there. And they go out, and their main goal was actually to re-sign some of their guys. They had a ton of free agents on their roster this year. They're going to lose some. They're trying to keep some of the best ones. We just mentioned Courtney Lee leaving for the Knicks. That was a guy they really wanted to have back, but their biggest name on their list was, of course, re-signing Nicholas Batum. They got him for a huge contract, 5 years, $120 million, basically a max deal for Nick Batum. A little shy of that, but a lot of money for a guy who was the fourth option on the Trailblazers a couple years ago. But hopefully he was pretty good for them last year. I hope Steve Clifford and those guys can kind of recreate and grow and build on that, what they did last year. They lose Jeremy Lin to the Brooklyn Nets on a 3-year, $36 million deal. So Jeremy Lin, Lynn Sanity's back in New York. Al Jefferson, a guy who was, you know, the first guy to make that move. Remember, they were still the Bobcats, and Al Jefferson was a big-name free agent. And for some reason, he could have went anywhere and basically chose to go to Charlotte, play for Michael Jordan, and took a chance on this failing organization to kind of help build this team back up. He leaves for Indiana, and now the Pacers. Every move is like a domino effect. Every move that was made, it's like a tangent on the next team and how it makes them better. Yeah. So it's funny how this is what I love about free agency is how one piece can move an entire city. Al Jefferson leaves. He goes to Indiana on a 3-year, $30 million deal, which is pretty cheap for Indiana. Great signing there. And another guy that, you know, for some reason, I'm not sure why, but the Hornets, he did play pretty good for them last year, better than he was in the last few years in Atlanta, but they made it a point to go out and re-sign Marvin Williams. They paid him a pretty good deal of money to stay in Charlotte, so he's going to remain a Hornet. But I like what the Hornets did. Hopefully, like I said, Steve Clifford and that organization can build on their early success. I think their last year was probably a year, too soon than we most probably expected for this team to go.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Yeah, the East. I'm a more of an East guy, I guess, because I live in the East. But the East is going to be pretty competitive from top to bottom. I mean, you look at Orlando making moves. They could be a potential, you know, knocking on the door for playoff berth, maybe. I mean, it's, I don't know. New York is going to be there. You know, I think Brooklyn's still a good ways away. Philadelphia's always still a good ways away. But it's going to be competitive, especially for those last few playoff spots. You know, because Chicago, have they done enough to get back in? Or, you know, I don't know. The Bulls, I don't know. They got Rondo. They got, you know, Lopez. I mean, some of these guys, I don't know. What do you think about the Bulls?
The Bulls, they're in the opposite direction. Indiana's obviously on the way up. Charlotte's possibly going to stay around the same as last year. They have to figure out a way to fill Al Jefferson's shoes in the post. But the Bulls are probably on the outside looking in next season. I mean, you can't lose. Of course, you still got Jimmy Butler. We thought we was going to trade him on draft night, but he ends up staying with the Bulls. But you lose Derrick Rose. You lose Pau Gasol to San Antonio. Joakim Noah leaves for New York. Etwan Moore was a guy who was pretty sturdy off the bench. You have a couple young guys there in McDermott and you know, some other guys like that you can use to, you know, shift this Bulls team in next rebuilding direction. But at the same time, as an impact goes for how you're going to be a contender next year, I really don't see how it's going to be there. They're still light years away from being the Cavaliers or the Celtics or the Raptors or teams like that. So they're going to have the next few years. This is kind of a, you know, as soon as they didn't make the playoffs last year, we almost automatically transitioned into rebuilding stage where they got rid of a few people. And the talk said in early that Jimmy Butler or Derrick Rose one was going to be traded and it ended up happening. So here it is. We're living it. We're now fully into the rebuilding stage. And, you know, you're just glad that if you're a Bulls fan, you signed Jimmy Butler last year to a max deal. So now you have him under contract going forward for the next 4 or 5 years.
Right. No doubt.
But, you know, the Miami Heat, one of the biggest names out there in the free agent market this year was Hassan Whiteside, a guy you didn't really – You were kind of worried about where the market was for him. This was a guy who was just like Kent Bazemore, was almost out of the league a few years ago, had bounced around from team to team. I believe this was Hassan Whiteside's 9th team that he signed with in the NBA, not including D-League organizations and teams like that. So had an outstanding year last year for the Miami Heat, especially in the playoffs, till he got injured and became a free agent, was going to ask for a lot of money. He actually... a total in his career to this point has made $98,000. He signed a contract for 4 years, $98 million to stay with the Miami Heat. And that was a huge domino that the Heat wanted to fall, because they were still at this point considering themselves pretty heavily in the Kevin Durant showcase a little bit. They're trying to get some of their pieces back to, you know, persuade him to come to Miami. But getting Hassan Whiteside back was a huge deal. You lose Joe Johnson, Luol Deng, Tyler Johnson to a few teams, and now you may lose Dwayne Wade. You know, you tried to lowball him with a few deals that, you know, you knew he was going to be asking to get his money back. He has sacrificed for the last 6 seasons. He has never been the most paid guy on his team. That's crazy to think about. Two championships, and he's never been the highest paid player on his team. He took a pay cut when they wanted to get Shaq. He took a pay cut, of course, to sign Chris Bosh and James and LeBron James, and still not the highest paid player. Now Hassan Whiteside's got a bigger contract than him. And they tried to lowball him enough to go out and get more free agents. And Dwayne Wade said, I'm not doing it anymore. I've done it for all these years. We're obviously not as good as the Cavaliers are next year going into, you know, playoffs. So, you know, my chances of winning a championship next year, if I'm not going to win a championship, I at least want to be compensated for my, you know, past sacrifices and get paid. He was looking for a 2-year, $50 million. That's $25 million a year and an option after next year, because he, you know, who knows, he might retire. But basically what he's wanting is a 2-year, $50 million deal with an option after next season. And he can only offer him 2 years, $40 million. So he's out there still shopping around. He's been, you know, he actually canceled some of his meetings. He had a meeting today with Milwaukee to possibly go there, and he canceled his meeting there. But he still has negotiations with Denver Nuggets, and he's still out there talking to Chicago. So we just mentioned Chicago and them trying to get back into the playoff hunt. They can possibly be in play for Dwayne Wade and offer him some money that they obviously have on the table now.
How much would it take for him to go to Cleveland? Is that even possible?
It's possible. Trust me.
He'd have to take a pay cut, but I mean, J.R. Smith, Is he still on the market, or they worked out an agreement with Cleveland? I know he was going to be a free agent.
No, J.R. Smith's a free agent. They still have Richard Jefferson as a free agent right now. So they have money. What the most they can pay Dwayne Wade is $3 million.
Oh, wow.
And that's way below his asking price. So all the talks and gossip about him possibly, you know, taking his talents to Cleveland, playing with LeBron, and putting the old band back together again, you know, yeah. It's going to take a massive sacrifice for Dwayne Wade. And that's obviously, I mean, why would he leave Miami to go to Cleveland when he wouldn't take $10 million less, much less take $47 million less, you know?
Yeah. Well, they might move some pieces, maybe Shumpert, or I don't know.
They're actually, I mean, the Cavaliers. I mean,
they lost Miles Goff. How did who did they sign in free agency or re-signed? I mean, they got to sign LeBron.
Right. That's all they got right now is holding on to LeBron. Richard Jefferson, they pretty much expect him to come back. You know,
Miles Goff wants the books. J.R. Smith, you know, for the moment's off the books. I mean, you know, they got Dylan Villanova, which he wasn't making much, but he's off the books. I mean, to me, I think they should have a little bit of money to play with, but I don't really know how it all works, you know.
You go into the last couple of off seasons, and they actually owe the NBA $140 million in luxury tax.
Oh, okay.
So the free money that you could see opening up this year, they owe the NBA back for going over the cap so much the last couple of seasons.
So pretty much their salary cap is smaller than everybody else's.
Right. Even though it looks like they would have space and some money to move around, they're actually in the hole a little bit when it comes to owing the NBA because, you know, the NBA's rule is you can go over your cap space, you can go into what is the luxury tax, but you have to pay that back and then some.
Just to re-sign one of your players, right?
Yeah, basically, yeah. So that's the, you know, if the NBA had any kind of restricting thing, that would be it. You know, we see all these, you know, big teams formed together with stars here and there, but there's a price to pay when it comes to the fourth, fifth year on some of these deals where you have to owe the NBA back, and that's going to hurt you in the next couple of seasons going back. So you better win your championships while you can and you have the money to, because at some point you're going to have to start paying that money back.
I see. Okay. I think ultimately he'll. I don't know. I don't want to make a prediction because I've been wrong here.
You heard it here first on the Sports Report. Clay predicts Dwayne Wade heading to Cleveland.
Interesting that he canceled his visit with Milwaukee. I honestly thought Milwaukee had a legit shot at him.
Yeah, obviously being from that area, that was their strongest point to make there.
I tell you what, if you're Chicago, I think you should offer him at least 2 years, $44 million. I mean, offer him a little more than what Miami offered him. I mean, what do you got to lose if you're Chicago now?
Yeah, you go all out and just at least make an offer, because what you do, I mean, you can be smart and save your money for the next three seasons, or you can get a guy who is ready to help your team now, possibly make some kind of push, and maybe, you know, you can also make some more deals this season and before the trade deadline to get your team to improve your team before the playoffs. So they can make moves here and there to make it happen. But, you know, if you're Chicago, I think you at least like strongly consider adding one of the best scorers in the game in his career to be a part of your team and to help. Because right now you just have Jimmy Butler and a couple of guys to fill the rest of that roster.
Right, yeah.
You know, a couple of teams that were sort of, you know, boring when it comes to free agents. So the Wizards, They re-signed their boy Bradley Beal to a max deal, 5 years, $128 million. Not you know, opening up anybody's eyes. We were trying to figure out what they were going to do with that max money. If Bradley Beal's worth it, he's had a hard time staying on the floor the last couple seasons. But he's back at a max deal. They lose Jared Dudley to Phoenix. They go out and they sign Ian Mahimi from the Pacers. They also sign Andrew Nicholson from the Magic. It's a pretty good young guy. So that's a good piece they add there. And we talk about the Detroit Pistons, and obviously teams trending in the right direction in the East. That's another one of those teams that arguably gave the Cavaliers their toughest fight into the finals. They don't make any, you know, huge moves. They re-signed their guy Andre Drummond to a max contract, basically 5 years, $130 million. That's a guy they had to maintain for their team going forward, but other than that, they didn't make any other moves to, you know, any giant splashes to keep this free agency frenzy going.
Yeah. But they got a good young nucleus. I mean, they got Reggie Jackson and Caldwell Pope, some other guys. So, yeah. They need to try to keep that team intact for sure. They're definitely on the rise with Stan Van leading the way.
A guy like Chandler Parsons, this was a guy who was asking for a max deal with Dallas. They were not going to give him that, of course, after basically missing all of last season with injuries.
Right.
He won another max deal. And it really felt like on July 1st, that early in July 1st, it felt like that Portland Trailblazers were going to sign Chandler Parsons to a max deal. And that was going to be a scary lineup for Portland. Like for anyone else out west that were already scared of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum and that young nucleus coming together. Adding a guy like Chandler Parsons when healthy can be really lethal from three-point land. That's a pretty scary thing to think about out west going forward in the next couple of years. Didn't happen. He ends up signing a max deal, 4 years, 98, with the Grizzlies. And now you got to start, we were kind of tanking on the Grizzlies a little bit last year the way their season ended. But they re-signed Mike Conley to a huge contract, the biggest deal of free agency. And they signed another max player in Chandler Parsons. They're not giving hope. They're not giving up just yet. David Fizdale, the new head coach, this is a team who's trying their best to make another run at a championship in Memphis.
Yeah, I'm excited. Memphis has got a good fan base, got a good, some good players on that team. What about my boy Jermichael Green? Have they worked out a deal with him yet, or is he still
not yet? He's still a free agent, but man, you got to pay him money.
Yeah,
he's really proved his marks over the last year or so. Playing with that team in their D League, so I think you got to find a way to make him some kind of an offer where he can be a part of that team going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I think he'll get done, or if not, he'll go somewhere. Somebody will pay him.
Yeah, there's going to be teams. We mentioned, some teams looking for a big man like the Lakers, Golden State.
Oh wow! Can you imagine who goes to Golden State?
That'd be crazy. He'd be the next. Maurice Spates type guy.
Yeah.
But, another team that's made a few moves this offseason, basically started from scratch. They traded for Serge Ibaka on draft night. They traded their guy, Victor Oladipo. Got a new head coach in Frank Vogel this year, one of the best coaches in the league, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They made a couple splash moves here in free agency. They signed Bismack Biyombo from the Raptors. That's a huge move going forward. You can imagine Serge Ibaka and Biyombo in the post starting five. That's going to be a really strong defensive lineup they have out there now.
Yeah.
Which is what Frank Vogel preaches most of anything, is defense. Yeah. So that fits right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So they get Bismack.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They get Bismack Biyombo. They also signed Jeff Green away from the Clippers on a pretty cheap deal, in my opinion.
Yeah.
1 year, $50 million debt. That's like a low risk there. We're going to pay you this to see what you can do for 1 year, and then we'll negotiate next year. But that's a pretty good piece, in my opinion. I like Jeff Green more than anybody else probably does. But
he's a solid player.
His potential to me is really on the upward swing. If he can just stay on the floor and hopefully be in the right position. I don't think the Clippers were the right place for him, but hopefully Orlando can be. The Magic also re-signed their guy, Evan Fournier, to a 5-year, $85 million deal. Don't know if he's worth that much money, but they re-signed their guy that they desperately wanted to keep. They also signed DJ Augustine away from Denver, so they have a point guard. It's a savvy veteran guy. So, seeing the Magic trend in the direction where Indiana did whenever Frank Vogel went there for a little bit. There's just a few moves here or there, defensive, young core with a couple of strong veterans along the way. This could be a team the next 3-4 years could be up there fighting for a playoff spot and maybe even contending in the top four of the East.
Yeah. The East is going to be pretty competitive. I just hope my Hawks just didn't make a big mistake and are going to take a step back. I don't know. But, I could see it. I could see it happening, but at the same time, I think they'll probably stay put. I think right now I put, obviously, Cleveland 1, Toronto 2. I think Boston's got to be the number 3 team in the East right now. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
4. Ooh, I don't know who you'd put at the 4 spot. So many teams going to be vying for that 4 spot. I don't know if you'd put Atlanta there. I don't. maybe Indiana, honestly. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, could be Indiana. You know, depends on, you know, just you think about the process of getting better in the off season and what adding in another year of experience. I can see the Pistons jumping up pretty, you know, to the 4, 5, 6, you know, position this year. They were a few games behind the rest of the field in the East, but not too far behind either. So they can make another strong stride this year, keep that team together.
Yeah, I could see the Hawks and the Heat, really. I could see them actually stumbling down a few places.
Yeah, spots. You're right. We may be in a spot where Atlanta and Miami trade spots with Charlotte and Detroit.
Do you think Charlotte will improve even after losing? Oh, I think Charlotte will take a little bit of a step back losing Al Jefferson.
You think so?
Small. I think they're still a playoff team, but I don't. I mean, they were the 6th seed last year. I think they'll probably be about the 6th seed this year. Maybe not with as good a record. I mean, they nearly won 50 games. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. But I definitely think right now Cleveland, Toronto, and Boston are definitely the three. I think it's those three and pretty much everybody else competing for the last 5 spots.
I think you're right on that. And, you know, talk a little bit about the Western Conference here. The Houston Rockets go out and they have to find a way to fill some of these gaps in their roster. And they make a few moves here. They get a couple of shooters from New Orleans. They get Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon, 2 guys, when healthy. Again, that's a big question there. When healthy can be really great shooters out on the perimeter. And that really fits Houston, Mike D'Antoni's system there. That really fits into their wheelhouse too. You just, like I mentioned, you got to be worried about injuries and how do they have enough unselfishness on that team to have the ball go all the way around the floor without James Harden throwing it up as soon as he walks across half court.
Yeah, that would be the question. But I'm pretty excited to see this Houston team under Mike D'Antoni. It could either be a thing of beauty or a disaster. But I think Houston will be. I think they're on the upswing.
I think you're right. And you know, a couple moves here made by the Dallas Mavericks. They re-signed Dirk Nowitzki, 2 years, $40 million. They re-signed Deron Williams, who I thought was going to be on the way, you know, to shipping somewhere else, but 1 year, $10 million deal. He's back as a Maverick. They lose Chandler Parsons, but they replace him with Harrison Barnes, 4 years, $94 million deal. We knew he was going to be on the way out as soon as, you know, basically as soon as the finals were over. But it didn't help that the Golden State Warriors picked out the biggest prize in free agency in Kevin Durant. So obviously that made Harrison Barnes had to go, but I think this is a great pickup for the Mavericks. I think it's going to help Harrison Barnes too mentally because I think he kind of saw himself as an outsider with that team last year.
So is Harrison Barnes now the face of the franchise in Dallas?
No. Dirk Nowitzki is still there. He's the face. But and he'll continue to be the German face of that franchise for quite some time. And, you know, we'll see how Harrison Barnes transitions with being more focused on as a star and getting paid. So maybe this will kind of give him a fresh start, can kind of get him back to what we were expecting him to be when he was drafted by the Warriors.
Yeah. I like Dallas' moves, honestly. I really do. I like what Dallas did, and I really like what Utah did. I like the direction the Jazz are taking.
Me too. I love the Jazz so much. For some reason, I love the Jazz and the way they're going.
They basically gave up their lottery pick for George Hill, though. Ain't that right?
Basically,
I don't know if they got the best end of that deal. I mean, George Hill's a pretty good, you know, savvy veteran point guard who, you know, can, you know, he's not a bad player, obviously, but I don't think he's worth a lottery pick. But other than that, I really like some moves by the Jazz, especially signing Joe Johnson for a really good deal, I thought.
Yeah, really cheap deal there for the Jazz. You talk about how much Atlanta and Brooklyn and Miami had paid Joe Johnson over the course of the last 6 years. You know, he could have retired, you know, 6 years ago, basically. But gets a really cheap deal, 2 years, $22 million. The sign with the Jazz, and really what the Jazz needed. They were one of the youngest teams out there in the league, so they needed some veteran guys out there. They got a great point guard who's, you know, smart, who can kind of mold some of these young guys in the right direction, and George Hill. They go out and they get Joe Johnson, who's going to come off the bench, I heard, in Utah.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy to think about. They have so many young guys who proved themselves last year. Rodney Hood, and some Dante Exum. They get Gobert, of course, last year, and Gordon Hayward. So they have so many pieces already in place. You add in Joe Johnson, you add in George Hill, just a few small moves that could impact their team and their progress next year.
And they nearly were a playoff team this year, so I definitely think they'll be in next year.
Yeah, it came down to the last game of the regular season when the Rockets basically they played the Kings, and nobody on the Sacramento Kings team was there, basically. It was just Houston Rockets in a layup drill. And Utah Jazz, unfortunately, played Kobe Bryant in his last game of his career.
Yeah.
So it's just a terrible night for Utah. But going forward, you got to like the way that they're headed. They also make a move here. They also trade one of their young guys in Trey Burke, a point guard who was, who obviously was doing well for that team. They didn't get much for him, actually, a second round pick in 2021. I thought his value was a little bit higher than that. But Washington Wizards, they get a backup point guard. They lost Raymond Sessions. They needed a guy coming off the bench after John Wall, and they got a good young guy in Trey Burke. So good move by Washington. Utah, I'm not sure if that's a great pick there, but they kind of had too many point guards as it was, especially adding in George Hill.
Yeah, I think it pretty much just released him, but didn't have to pay a penalty and got at least something back for him. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They basically just released him. Yeah.
So Clay, that brings us basically to the San Antonio Spurs.
Oof.
And interesting how this is all taking place now. They're just a few years ago, actually, just even this last year, they had the best season in Spurs history, regular season. Right. Unfortunately, it came to an end. We saw the Thunder peak at the right time, the wrong time for the Spurs. They got out. They got the best, biggest name last year in free agency in LaMarcus Aldridge. Kawhi Leonard, the face of the franchise now, is getting better and better every year. And now we're starting to see the players that built this team, built this franchise with Greg Popovich over the last 10 years, getting closer and closer to retirement. Manu Ginobili had opted out to become a free agent. He thought about retiring. He's actually going to come back and play next year, so he'll be on that team again. But as for Tim Duncan, it's the sources around the league say he is strongly considering retirement after he opted into his deal this year, but he can still obviously retire. And he's strongly considering that direction. And, the signing of Pau Gasol makes it even more apparent that this could be the end of the Tim Duncan era in San Antonio.
Yeah, they'll obviously make room for him if he wants to come back for another year, but the Gasol signing pretty much tells me that that Duncan is going to retire. But I think it's a good sign. They lose David West, but, David West struggled a little bit, especially towards the end of the year, so I don't think that's a huge loss. It's not a huge financial loss, because he's playing for the minimum, just like he's playing for the minimum again next year. Boy, he wants to win a championship, doesn't he?
He's chasing the ring bad.
He's losing a lot of money for that ring.
He's made it up in Charlotte and Indiana. He's made his money. He wants a championship.
Yeah, he's made a lot of money, but man, I guess I'm just greedy. I don't know. Maybe he's a good investor, huh?
Could be a smart guy with his money, like Tracy McGrady was.
You might be investing in championship rings and he's one. I don't know. Man, yeah. But, yeah, San Antonio, I like, they had their old guys, but they still have this new young core with Leonard and Aldridge. So they're going to be fine. I mean, they need to find their young future point guard, in my opinion. I don't know how much longer Tony Parker's going to play.
I like what they did in the draft. They got a guy that added to their summer league team, a strong draft pick at the end of the first round. Trying to find him here. I really like what they did here drafting DeJounte Murray. That's a guy from Washington who has potential, but obviously is going to take a couple years to fill the void of Tony Parker.
How many years do you think Tony Parker has left in the tank? Enough for him to mold? Or you think
he's got at least the way we saw Ginobili and Tim Duncan kind of manage their seasons the last few years. He has at least three or four at the most to come back and at least be in some sort of capacity, be some help to Popovich. He could be one of those guys who towards the end of his career could be like a Kevin Garnett, which basically transitions into some assistant coach on the floor kind of thing.
Yeah, Tony was a few years younger.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. They still have who was their backup point guard the last couple of years. Oh, man, I can't think of his name.
Patty Mills?
Patty Mills. Patty.
They still got Patty Mills. He's actually a free agent. They can sign him back, but he's part of that core is going to come back.
Hey, Atlanta's sitting there. If you don't want to resign, Patty.
Come on over, Patty.
You know the system.
The Spurs have made a couple moves today. Actually, they traded Boris Diaw to the Utah Jazz. Another great move by the Jazz there.
Knows the system.
So they traded him to the Jazz for basically the rights of a 2015 second-round pick made by the Jazz and Oliver Honlin, a guy who played in the EuroLeague last year but actually was named to their version of the All-NBA, All-EuroLeague team. He was added to the first team of that, so has potential there when he decides to come over, when the Spurs bring him over. If they could be using this, again, this is just to make space for Pau Gasol, so this is a guy they could stash or trash either way. But it was just to create enough space to sign Pau Gasol and to absorb his contract.
So Gasol, I guess, will be the starting. I guess he'll just pretty much step in the Duncan's shoes.
Exactly. This is basically, just replacing Tim Duncan with Pau Gasol. And to me, doesn't this make so much sense for Pau Gasol to play for Greg Popovich?
Yeah.
How could this not have happened sooner? Like, I know he was close to signing with San Antonio when he was choosing between Chicago a couple years ago. But, they didn't really have enough money to make it work then. But this just makes so much sense. Greg Popovich having a guy from Spain playing on his team. And they're actually, the same person, Popovich and Pau Gasol, because they like to go and explore some of the artsy things in town. His decision was a basketball decision, but it was also based on the location and where could he see himself living for the next year or so playing for this team.
Yeah, I think it's a good fit. I think him and Popovich will get along great. And I think he'll fit the system well. I think it's a good time, essentially. I actually think they're a better team now than they were at the end of the year. No disrespect to Duncan, but I think Paul's just a better player at this stage in their careers.
Yeah. No matter where Powell was going to go, he was going to help their team. He thought about going to Toronto. San Antonio obviously helped. I mean, you can just see them. You can picture them on the floor right now and Powell helping this team get better. LaMarcus Aldridge, Pau Gasol on the same block. That's awesome.
Yeah, now he did play in Canada, obviously. He played for Vancouver when he first got in the league. So I could have saw him going back to Canada. That's interesting, but I think San Antonio just felt right.
I mean, it's got to be hard if you're able to fit in with that team and they can make enough money to add you there and enough space to add you. It's got to be hard saying no to Popovich and RC Buford and the rest of that team, just the way they've built that team from the ground up.
Yeah, no doubt.
So Clay, I want to go back a little bit to Kevin Durant and what this does for the NBA, for the grand view of the NBA now that arguably the third best player behind Steph and LeBron and whatever order you want to put him in. But Kevin Durant, obviously a top five player in the league, changing teams. And we talked about the impact it's going to have on the city of Oklahoma and the franchise of Oklahoma. But as NBA as a whole, what is this going to do for the league?
I don't know. A lot of people think it's bad for the league, but I mean, it's a team that won 73 games last year. They're obviously better now, which is scary. The thing about Golden State that made them so good was their bench was really good. To me, with Livingston and Barboza and Iguodala, which Livingston and Iguodala will still be coming off the bench, so the bench will still be pretty good. But, it felt like there was, 1 through 10, any of the 10 guys could beat you. So I don't know if they're as strong as a team from 1 through 10. They're too deep. But obviously, adding a superstar like Kevin Durant's going to, it's just another weapon that teams are going to have to deal with Curry and Thompson. I mean, if Curry has another cold streak like he did in the finals, just be a true point guard and let Thompson and Durant take over, and let Draymond take over. I mean, it's You know, and Zaza play good defense and rebound. You know, it's really scary. I think, as well as Cleveland played to win the finals last year, I don't adding Durant to this Warriors team. I don't, you know, if they met again in the finals next year, I don't see how Cleveland would have an answer for them. So I don't see how anybody will have an answer for this team. Really, I think. You know, you don't want to make predictions like that. But I don't know. I think they'll probably win it all. I mean, just and probably won't even be. I don't know. I think if Cleveland with Cleveland's current team against this Warriors current team, I think the Warriors would win it in 5-6 games tops, 6 at the most, probably 5.
You know, it was kind of interesting to think about a few months ago, just when we heard the rumors that, what if Kevin Durant signed, you know, the Warriors were interested in getting Kevin Durant.
Yeah, you were all over it.
We thought, you know, it's fun to think about and picture him in a Golden State jersey and have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green all on the same floor with Kevin Durant and how that would work and how it's basically like putting teams together on NBA 2K.
They might not be able to play together. Who knows? You know what I mean? It's not guaranteed. I mean, there's only one ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But this is not, you know, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron, and you know guys like that. Right? Now, this is guys who are
really likable. I like Durant. I like Curry. I like Klay.
Exactly.
Like,
see, you're on my side, right? You get it, right?
All, you know, LeBron's crew. You know, Chris Paul and LeBron and Carmelo and those guys. I don't like any of them.
Exactly. Thank you for coming over to my side.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm definitely on your side. I definitely. Yeah. Those four guys, and then you throw in Zaza, you know. Those are, you know, five, really. You know, to me, that's a really likable team.
I mean, think about it. Even off the bench, Sean Livingston, how can you hate him? You can't hate Andre Iguodala.
I guess people could dislike Draymond Green because, you know, it's...
Well, yeah. You know, other than Draymond hitting people below the belt every game, it's a pretty likable team.
Yeah. I really like Curry and Klay, and I don't have nothing against Durant. I think he's a pretty nice guy, so, yeah. It is definitely much different than, yeah, that's a good point. It's definitely, yeah, it's not Melo and James and yeah, being on the same team. It's guys that, you know, I think are a little more selfless by nature.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to bring up is how unselfish this team going forward, you know, what it could possibly be like. We saw, you know, how quick and fast the ball moved around with Klay and Steph and Draymond and how great they were moving off screens and, you know, just flashes out to the post, to the paint, not the paint, but to the perimeter to shoot threes, how fast they're able to move the ball around and play with so much joy. That's another thing people talked about the Warriors is how much fun they're having out on the floor. Winning these games is always fun, but the way you do it, you know, playing unselfish, it's not easy for a lot of players to figure that out. Now you add Kevin Durant, who's a, you know, we talked about his character before. You know, he's a high character guy. He's completely unselfish. He's of course going to want to get his shots, but he knows he's going to have to sacrifice, just like everyone else on that team. The main goal here, of course, is to win a championship. Obviously, you know, more than one is possible. So these players are going to have to be at their best and sacrifice for one another to make that happen. And you can't ask for a better group of guys, in my opinion, to make that happen.
Yeah. Zaza probably won't even shoot it. He might shoot it.
Zaza's gonna average like 16 rebounds and 0 points.
Yeah.
he's not gonna get anything but except rebounds and maybe a couple block shots here and there. And maybe he might foul out almost every game too.
Maybe getting Zaza, you normally don't try and root for a team with so many superstars, or at least I don't, but since I got Zaza, you know, man. That's a big, you know, that team's a lot better than any of the Miami teams, I think, that five.
Exactly.
I mean, no disrespect to Joel Anthony, but I think Zaza's a much better player. You know, Durant's in his prime, Curry's in his prime. I mean, they're all in their prime. When LeBron and them went to Miami, they were, I mean, D-Wade was already a little bit past his prime, and Chris Bosh, yeah, a little bit past his prime, and you know, LeBron was still, I guess, in his prime, but, you know, it wasn't, it's still... I mean, I guess they're comparable, but at the same time, I definitely think this Warriors team is definitely better.
So you understand on my side how it's different than Miami Heat and LeBron James. I know it's one star leaving a town for another, and it kind of felt like Kevin Durant's hometown, but it's not. You know, it's not Cleveland. It's not a city or a state that hasn't won anything in a long time.
We're in Seattle when they drafted him.
Exactly, in Seattle. Think about those guys. They lost the whole franchise in 2 years. So, I mean, to me, it's a huge, I love it. You know, almost no matter what, it came down to, you know, Kevin Durant is my favorite player ever since Allen Iverson went away. It became Kevin Durant. But, you know, it came to a point where his teams, where he picked, no matter where he was going to go, I was going to be okay with it. If he stayed in Oklahoma City, would have loved it. Would have stayed, would he went to Golden State like he did. I love it there, too. I would have loved to see him play with San Antonio and LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard. I would have loved to see him in a Boston Celtic uniform with Al Horford. I mean, there's just so many possibilities that I actually liked. The one team I was pulling against was the Miami Heat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For some reason, I just can't get over them, you know? They have a couple of great young guys, Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson, but for some reason, the cloud still hangs over with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. So if Kevin Durant were to go there and, you know, just maybe Pat Riley, his, you know, mysterious self, you know, maybe that's the big thing.
Pat Riley is kind of like an evil Batman character.
Exactly. He's like the Joker, but, you know, the Jack Nicholson version.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love NBA free agency. We're not done. Obviously the biggest names are pretty much off the board, except for Dwayne Wade, who's now become in play. But this is the fifth day of free agency. It feels like before, I remember going back to, you know, a few, like maybe 3 years ago, you know, talking to you and Carter, and we got to, like, you know, the second week of free agency, like, you know, July 14th, people were still undecided where they're going to go. And that's something you got to think about too with Kevin Durant and his decision. It was the fourth day in free agency. LeBron James left Cleveland on July 14th. That's 14 days he dragged this on and made it a big spectacle, put it on national television, all this stuff happened. And it, you know, he dragged, you know, everyone threw it for 14 extra days. And here Kevin Durant, you know, basically kept it quiet, handled the meetings the correct way, and made his decision in 4 days.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely like the way he handled it. I was surprised that when he announced. It was just like, I just got a little notification on my phone, you know.
Right.
Like, it was no big deal. Yeah.
We knew it was going to be sometime July 4th because they said, the day before, it's 24 to 36 hours, so either Monday morning or Monday afternoon, some decision was going to be made. But, you know, for me anyway, you're just waiting by the phone, waiting for it to happen and for the decision to be made so we can go ahead and talk about how awesome it's going to be for no matter what destination Kevin Durant decided to go to.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to wrap up our NBA Free Agency Frenzy podcast, man. We covered a lot tonight, more than we probably expected we would, but we circled back around to Kevin Durant, the biggest story, of course, in the NBA, signing with the Golden State Warriors, choosing to leave his the organization that drafted him in first Seattle, then Oklahoma City, built that team from the ground up, obviously now finding his best position to win championships, plural, maybe more than one. I think he's definitely in the right position to do that now going forward. It's going to be interesting to see how the Golden State Warriors finish out the rest of this roster.
Yeah, it will be. They'll figure something out. They'll have some players taking cuts. Even though people's making mad money, they'll be okay.
It's going to be hard to top this podcast because we got so much out there for today because we had to recap so many amazing moves and what it means for which organization to get which player and how that goes on to the next team and the next organization. So it all, like I said, it's a domino effect. One player can change the course of the entire league, and that's basically what we've seen in the first 5 days of free agency.
Yeah. Yeah, been great.
I love it, man. Trade deadline, free agency, this is the best for me. This is the best as it gets when it comes to the NBA. We're going to be back probably next week to recap the rest of the NBA free agency. We'll probably be done at that point. A much shorter podcast. Probably just talking about Dwayne Wade, where he's going to go, and anything else. Maybe we'll know more about the Spurs roster and the Golden State Warriors roster, and if Atlanta Hawks can find a backup point guard. We'll find all this stuff out probably in this next week, leading into next week's podcast.
Have a good day, brother.
Clay, thank you as always as coming apart and being part of the podcast here, bringing your wisdom and your inside know-how, really, for all this news going out there. Thank you so much for always being a part of this podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate it, dog.
Remember to check out new and archive episodes of the Sports Report podcast and iTunes now on Stitcher. Also, make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well. We'll see you guys next week for a brand new Sports Report podcast.